Welcome. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd, Environmental Wellness, Health in the Age of Climate Change. And with us today is Jennifer, REHS and HAZMAT Coordinator, and Crystal, Local Health Outreach Coordinator as well. Welcome, guys, and thank you for being on today's special series related to National Health Education Week.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks so much. And we'll just briefly describe what you do at the health department and why it relates to today's episode.
Okay. I'm Jennifer, and I am an REHS, so I'm one of the inspectors that inspects the foods and other things. I also am the HAZMAT coordinator, so I deal with all things hazardous materials for the city. And I also am part of the Environmental Commission. I'm the liaison for the health department.
Hi. So, yes, as you said, I'm the local health outreach coordinator here. And I work with the health education team, which works to prevent the spread of disease and share educational material in that regard. So I'm excited to be here today.
Awesome. Thank you both. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll just dive in. Let's talk about what environmental wellness is.
So basically, environmental wellness is, when it comes to climate change, refers to actively taking steps in your own health by changing the negative impacts of climate change. So we're dealing with extreme weather events and changes even in our food systems, like the way that they're growing foods now due to climate change, and promoting sustainable practices so we can minimize our own environmental footprint when it comes to climate change.
What is climate change? What exactly is it?
Yeah, so climate change, I feel like, you know, a lot of people hear the term and it's such a big, broad kind of term. So I would say that it's specifically a long-term change in the weather patterns that come to define what you know to be your local, regional, and global climate. So this could be things like changes in frequency and intensity of rainfall levels, temperatures, wind patterns, and other extreme events, like Jen mentioned, like hurricanes, right? So we can experience certain increased rainfall in certain areas, but then droughts in other areas, right?
Clifton is experiencing what's called a heat island, which basically means there's too much, you know, paved surfaces and buildings compared to greenery and trees and waterways. So therefore, the temperature has risen in Clifton itself.
Why is the climate changing? And what are some causes of the change?
So the climate is changing, and it's actually been changing since the 1850s. This was before the industrialization of the world, but obviously since that's been the case, the rate that the globe has been warming is increasing, right? And this increased amount of, you know, industrialization in the world increases how many greenhouse gases we have, which are our carbon dioxide, methane, fluorinated gases, and water vapor. And what greenhouse gases do is basically trap the heat on Earth to, as I said before, increase the temperatures on that we're experiencing. And one of the main culprits of these increased amounts of greenhouse gases is fossil fuel burning, which we commonly use with industrial activity, transportation, and the production of heat and electricity. So there are a lot of causes.
Yeah, so construction would be an example of something like that, correct? Because in Clifton, I know that we have a lot of construction going on, and that can affect our air quality and
definitely,
our water quality, right?
With the whatever machines they might be using, and also even production of, if we're looking at larger production and factories, these are some of the bigger culprits of, you know, the greenhouse gas emissions. So
so that kind of brings us to our next question. How is this affecting our health and wellness?
Some of the more observable effects of climate change are, like we mentioned before, heat waves, wildfires, flooding, tropical storms, and hurricanes. And that's, like I mentioned, increasing in the frequency and intensity. Some of the effects of climate change on our health are when we're looking at injury and mortality as a result of some of these really extreme weather events, to increased risk for diseases, right? Then respiratory illnesses due to whether it be the air pollution or a number of other communicable diseases and non-communicable diseases that increase as a result of these changes. And lastly, mental health struggles. And I know, Jen, you can talk a bit more about these factors.
Yes. So when it comes to air quality, you definitely want to make sure you monitor the air quality days, especially in the summer. You know, they always say not to go running if you have asthma or other related injuries.
Where would we look for the quality of air?
So you can look on the EPA page. Normally, even the weather stations have that. Not weather stations. The apps that we use for weather usually has air quality monitoring. You can put it on your phone as an app to monitor, especially for those that like to work out. Maybe there's certain hours of the day you kind of avoid. Heat stressors, you always want to stay hydrated. You want to seek cool spaces when it's heat waves. I know we're going into winter, so now it's kind of the opposite. You know, the winters are getting warmer, so you just want to stay aware. Another climate change effect is water safety. So, you know, having access to clean water, drinking water, is a big issue. You know, with these hurricanes going on now, you always want to stay away from the floodwaters, they say, because it's always mixed with hazardous materials and different bacteria and viruses. I know we're not dealing with this now. Right around the corner could be another hurricane for us. So you always want to be aware and pay attention to the weather. Vector-borne diseases, those are mosquito and tick-borne diseases. We've had a higher increase of West Niles going on, even right here in the county. And it's called EEE, Eastern Equine Encephalitis. The cases of Lyme's disease and other tick-borne diseases have been on the rise as well. So you always want to use EPA-approved bug repellent and try and wear long sleeves, especially if you're going out during the, you know, certain hours. Mosquitoes seem to be more resilient. They're out during the day where it used to be more at night and at dusk. And ticks, you know, they're present all the time. Mental health awareness is another key thing with climate change. Climate anxiety management has become an issue. There's many people dealing with anxiety due to climate change, and you want to recognize the symptoms in yourself, ways to reduce your anxiety, and make sure that you're coping well with the issues that a lot of these times we cannot deal with. These are big, big issues, and there's things that you can do to help yourself in your everyday life. You can also engage yourself in community involvement. So we have an environmental commission that we meet once a month in City Hall. It's always the second Wednesday of the month. So if you want to come at 6:30, the public is invited to attend any of our meetings. So if you want any information, you could check our website for that.
And what is our role in climate change?
So our roles as health professionals is to educate and spread awareness, as we're doing now, and prevent the spread of illness and provide emergency preparedness materials. The role of the public is really to engage with this information that we're providing, and that hopefully prepares them to be better equipped and conscious about doing their part to reduce their carbon footprint. And I know I mentioned the emergency preparedness materials. And Jen, that's kind of your wheelhouse.
Yeah. So last month, September, was just Emergency Preparedness Month. So we put a lot of information on our website, and we put it out on social media on the Clifton Health Department Facebook and Instagram pages. Ways to prepare yourself. You should always have a go bag, which is important in case, you know, a storm or an emergency, that you have enough medication for yourself or for your children and for your pets. You never want to forget them. You want to have everything that you would need to go somewhere else, or just prepare, because you never know if you have to just shelter in place, if there was some sort of emergency or hazmat release. We just had a really bad accident back in July on Route 3, and that impacted a lot of people. So you just want to always prepare yourself, because emergencies can happen in the blink of an eye.
Absolutely. And where would we, if we wanted to prepare a to-go bag, is there a specific website or available materials, we can find that?
I think we already have them on our website, okay. But FEMA is definitely a good, FEMA.gov has a lot of emergency preparedness information that we like to, you know, give out to the public for a good source.
Yeah, you can never be too prepared.
So you briefly talked about the Environmental Commission and when you guys meet, but what exactly have you guys been working on? Kind of what can the community see?
So the city of Clifton had received a $10,000 grant from Sustainable Jersey that we had just completed to update our environmental resource inventory. This is very good document that we have it on the website that everybody can read, and it basically goes into everything about the environment. So you can, you know, from the soils to the water quality, everything is in there.
Now, is this related strictly to the city of Clifton?
This is, yes. Okay. This was written by a company that we had hired. It's called the Land Conservancy of New Jersey, and they updated it. So it used to be called the Natural Resource Inventory, and that was from 2003. So it was very important to get this updated, and now the information is very current. The Clifton Planning Board had voted to put it into the city's master plan, so that's really good news.
Oh, good. Awesome. And that's available on our website, so we will definitely put the link to that in the description below.
I hope everybody gets a chance to check it out.
Related to Clifton and the environment, so we just underwent a community health assessment. And some of the data that has shown environmental change was something that a lot of our focus groups and key informants have touched upon. And one thing that kind of stuck out to me was some of the negative health impacts due to frequent construction activities, like we talked about before, affecting air and water quality, and concerns about cleanliness and overall appearance to some of the parks and some of the areas related to pedestrian safety around Clifton. Can you please tell us what are some actionable steps as a public, as the community resident in Clifton, what we can do to reduce climate impact in the city?
There's a lot of things that you can do. You can recycle. Recycling are, you know, metals, plastics, paper. That will reduce the waste that's around the city. Because sometimes people were talking about the parks not being clean. People have to be good humans and pick up their trash, right? There's other things that you can do, like reducing your waste. Don't buy things if you're not going to use it or just use it for a short amount of time. Maybe you can borrow something from a friend or a coworker instead of having to buy it and then it just goes out in the trash.
Got it. Another thing that they did touch upon with the data and research that we saw was adequate waste management. And that contributing to environmental health. So that would be really interesting, what you said before about borrowing something or just reducing waste entirely.
Right. Sometimes people, they don't want to get rid of their waste in the right way and they illegally dump it, which causes a problem, you know. And then we have a rat situation in the city where the population of rats has grown. So people on the everyday can just get rid of their trash in the right way, put it in tight-fitting containers and strong plastic garbage bags. That would reduce the way. Even birds start picking at garbage, right? Yeah. And then it spreads around, so.
Right, everything is kind of connected. So we, on our end, as the public, have to do some specific steps to reduce climate change. Crystal, is there anything else you can provide to just kind of help us reduce climate change?
Yeah, I would say that in addition to taking care of our waste and disposing it properly, I would say that taking care of our carbon emissions and trying to reduce that, when we can do that in a number of ways, by carpooling, using public transportation, or just using fuel-efficient vehicles. And then, you know, when it comes to the household, you can switch to LED light bulbs. If you have the ability, if you're purchasing a home, looking into solar panels, or if you're buying kitchen appliance, your next stove could be electric rather than gas. Things like this could definitely help reduce your carbon footprint.
Now, I know we talked about waste management. Does food kind of go into this as well?
So the DEP has put out regulations to recycle food waste, but that's on a bigger level, like hospitals and larger restaurants and establishments. But you can have your own composting, right, in your backyard. They even have little sink composting that you can do with worms under, you know, like in your own kitchen, which can be ways to get rid of vegetables and fruit and such. You can't recycle everything that way, but it's definitely all these little things add up to big things, which can help our environment overall.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, you know, the food industry in general is one of the biggest contributors to climate change, specifically beef and dairy. So if you can, definitely try to buy local farm fresh foods. We do have City Green and their veggie mobile that makes different stops around Passaic County, so you can look into that. But also, if you have the ability to, you can also plant your own garden, and that can avoid the environmental costs of producing and shipping some of these items from other locations. Clifton Public Schools also has school gardens where they teach kids to plant fruits and vegetables and even develop certain curriculum and lesson plans around this. So if anyone has any children in the house, this could be a nice way to engage with them and develop some eco-friendly and sustainable habits.
I have just a tip. You could plant a tree or make your own garden, like a rain garden. We have one on City Hall property. Those are good ways to manage water because we're talking about getting too many storms and storm surge right now. So go out and buy a tree. Plant one.
Yeah. There's some veggies that are good for fall. If you want to plant kale, carrots, and beets, and that would be a good time as well.
Yeah, and it's also really awesome to just kind of eat or go out and pick from your garden and kind of eat those foods too, right?
It's also good for your stress management because right, exactly. It's very relaxing, mm-hmm. And keeping care of your own garden is a good way to reduce your anxiety.
Any other final words?
I would just say that, you know, making steps in your own life to live a more eco-friendly in a more sustainable way can impact the others around you. So, you know, you don't always have to go up on a hill and, you know, tell someone how to change their ways. Sometimes you can just lead by example, and that can be enough.
Right. There's small changes you can make in your everyday life. You can also help out, you know, your community by going to cleanups that we provide in the city. We do a yearly cleanup in Dundee Island. There's cleanups available throughout the city. You can always contact us for that information. There's little ways every day that you can make an impactful mark on our community and your everyday life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, both of you. This is very informative, and I hope all listeners out there, if you have any questions and you would like to contact these two ladies, you can always call the health department at 973-470-5760.
Thank you for having us. This was really great.
Thank you so much for being here, and have a great day.
Tune in to our podcast every day this week for a new episode. If you have any questions, you can email us at health@cliftonnj.org. You can visit our website, www.cliftonnj.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Clifton Health. And as we do before we leave every day, let us ask ourselves, did you make a difference in someone's life today?